right, good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high, and so I hope and trust that it was a blessing to you as well. Just take your Bible, if you will, please, into the book of Genesis. In Genesis, in chapter number 3, and by the way, we'll not have Sunday school on Sunday, this Sunday. We'll not have Sunday school. We will have service Sunday morning, Sunday night. Brother Darrell's going to be preaching one of those services on Sunday night, and so I hope that you'll be tuned up, ready to go for that, all right? All right, if you're able to stand, then let's look there in chapter number 3, verse number 15 of Genesis. And he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil of a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And we'll thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to talk about two women in one verse. One of them's name Eve and the other one's name Mary. Now, in this lesson we're looking at and talking about being a hard time of the year, I didn't say nothing about it earlier because I didn't want to mess up Brother Joe's birthday that he had. He's coming up on Monday on the 19th. But you know, every now and again, like next year, it'll move down a notch. Next year, it's only ever so often, and I don't know what the sequence is that it falls on a Sunday and the same Sunday and the same Monday. But this last week was that, whenever we lost our dear brother, my dear friend, a dear son-in-law, a dear Christian, a dear preacher, a dear member, and that he had shouted me on Sunday morning, Sunday night. By Monday morning, I was being summoned to their house, and he was going home to be with the Lord. Now, let me tell you right now, that's not an easy Christmas. And it's just as real today as it was 11 years ago. This coming Sunday, it'll be 4 years since we had a Christmas with Jacob. I mention these two because I've had a lot of loved ones that have gone to meet with the Lord, and we realize that, oh, that's a reality of life, but God, I miss them. I miss them. I go by out there at the cemetery and try to make sure everything's in order and so forth and on. But God, I miss them. I believe with all of my heart Jesus is going to come again, and one day we're going to see him just like they sung. But until that time, do you ever think God does funny things? If you was God, would you take a man on to heaven on the 19th of December away from a little girl, what, 4 years old? A little boy, 7. Another one, what, 13? God doesn't do everything exactly the way you and I would do it. I hear them on the news all the time, on the TV all the time about, you know, naturally down there, one of them little, what do they call that, the Shriners and that Danny Thomas thing and that helps those crippled kids born deformities and stuff like that. And then you hear the mama say, "These kids don't deserve." I got news for you, honey. The reason why it's that way is because of sin. Not their sin, but our sin. Because somebody, somewhere, listened to the serpent and ignored the Savior to be able to do it. The wages of sin, the Bible said, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I appreciate the fact that every now and again, that's why God says we better weep with those that weep. See, and you and I can laugh and rejoice and be with those that do that, but every now and again, you got to stop long enough to weep with those that are weeping. And let me tell you, it doesn't hit as hard home to you till it's what we're talking about, and all of us know the closeness of that. I want to preach a little while tonight on these two women that we're looking at in verse number 15 that we've read here tonight. Now, here's what ends up happening. If you begin to read the story, you know the creation of man. His name was by the name of Adam. And then God took one of his ribs and put him to sleep, took out a rib, closed up the flesh thereof, made a woman out of it, then brought her before the man to see what he was going to call her, and Adam named her Eve. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that it's by the power of God that he puts enmity between the serpent and the woman. Now, here's the reason why he done it, is that the Satan thinks he's got some kind of good connection. I'm going to have an inroad with women. I don't mean this to be ugly, because you're the cream of the crop. I couldn't love anybody better than I love my dear wife. I know you feel that way about your spouse as well, you men. If not, you need something fixed. But I said all that to be able to say this, is that God's way is just not our way, and his thoughts are not our thought. And before we get too rough on it, Ms. E, is that you've got to remember she had no mama, she had no daddy. She had nobody else to be able to fellowship. You know how some of you ladies are nuts and need something to do all the time? Well, she was needing something to do, obviously, the day she wandered off down there in the midst of the garden and seen that tree that was forbidden for them to take anything of. As I look at that and I realize that, oh, that God didn't let that off. And the Bible said that the Lord, did you notice that it's by the power of God in verse 15? And God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. In other words, they're going to become enemies and this and that. And, but there's a connection, he thought, the devil thought, that he had with the woman. And let me tell you what happens is that you'll find that Eve spoke to the serpent. And in the passages that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, is that he was able to sell her on his lie. In fact is, if you read in the book of Genesis, we're not going to, but you read all of it, and you'll find that when he strikes up a conversation with her, do you know that all the heresies in the world, you can find them here in the book of Genesis in chapter 3. First of all, they always question the words of God. Yea, hath God said? He wants to get you to doubt and see. And then there's another thing, said they're always positive thinkers. I can't tell you how many people that I know of and that I've met that don't want to come here because we're just too negative. But see, everything that's negative to them is positive to you and I that know the Lord. In this lesson there, not only that, but you'll find they profess to be trying to help you. You know, the devil, you're not gonna die. And in fact is, what's going to end up happening, you're going to be able to see things and know things like another god. And when she saw the fruit was good, desired to make one wise, so forth and on, she took of it, then gave it to her husband, and he took of it. In fact is, you're going to find out that one of the reasons why, that when we bring that up and that we look at that, is because in the fact here in this lesson in chapter number 3, he says, and because, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. I can't tell you how many people that I know in life that want to blame their wife if something's bad. If something turned out good, they want to take credit for it. See? And I got to say to you that if you make no mistake about it, listen, you and I ought to be in the business of trying to serve the Lord and trying to protect our family and trying to safeguard and to make sure that we adhere to the Scriptures. That's what we ought to be doing. But if we're not careful, we'll try to take the easy way out. And I don't know, hon, what do you think about it? Let's just find out what God thinks about it and says about it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, notice that while she was talking, and Mary, she's talking to the serpent. Now, whatever form that he was in and whatever he was doing, I don't know, but he was more subtle than any other creature. Sneaky devil. In fact is, you'll find that while Eve had been busy talking unto the serpent, when you read over there in the book of Luke about Mary, she's talking with an angel. In this lesson that we're looking at, notice that he says in verse 15 again, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, there's a lot of his seed that's out there, talking about the devil, talking about the wicked one. Did you know that woman, literally, God's termed it this way, no doubt for a reason, but a woman doesn't have a seed. She has eggs. And it's the seed that fertilizes an egg. But literally, according unto the medical world, and though that we may use the terminology, and here they use the terminology, is that her seed is really not a thing that's in reality. Somebody said one time, well, he called it a fiction, man that believes the Bible, but I don't want to call it a fiction. I'm just trying to tell you, God's trying to make a point to you and I, but woman does not have a seed. And that means is somebody else is going to have to produce in one of these women we're talking about that's beyond the reach of man. Yeah. See, we go to thinking about and looking at, and in fact, whenever you think about the virgin birth, that's a major cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. Mary was a virgin, and let me tell you, she knew not a man. When she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, his name was Emmanuel, his name was Jesus Christ. And let me say all of that so that you'll recognize and know that that's impossible for you and I to grab hold of and believe if it wasn't for God granting us faith to believe. You know, whenever somebody says, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. Well, you're not going to believe nothing about God until that God grants you faith to believe in Him. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that it's a record that points to the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about in verse 15. Now, I want you to notice something else about it. Do not lose your text. But look over in the book of Revelation chapter number 12. In Revelation chapter number 12, and it's about verse number 17, if I've got it written down right. And we'll look at it and see. In Revelation chapter number 12, and in about verse number 17, all right? And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Talking about Israel there in the feminine sense. And he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. You know what, who her seed is? Which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, when God put enmity between Eve and the serpent, he's still mad about it, and he's going to be mad, and he'd like to annihilate Israel altogether, being the people of God. And let me tell you, those that have the testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to say that whenever you look into the passage that we've read for a text, it points unto the virgin birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, in the lesson, you'll find there's a record of creation. God created man, God created woman, God created every living thing that's upon the face of this earth. And you'll find out that God intended while he put them in the Garden of Eden. What a place of calmness that must have been. What a place of beauty that it must have been. No sin had tainted it. And what a place of comfort and a peaceful place that it must have been walking around without a sinner and without sin that was in the Garden of Eden. See, you and I are seeing everything after that it's already been tainted by sin. My wife and I said, hey, you want to go drive by down the road? We're leaving a little bit early. Drive down and see all those Christmas lights. And she said, sure. And so we went on down that road there. And it's a long ways from my house down that road towards center, and I thought I was going to be late for church, and I thought, well, hey, it was worth getting to see them lights, but I didn't want to be late for church. I mean, you know. And so anyhow, I went down through there. It's magnificent. If you hadn't been down through there, you ought to drive down through there in order to just look at it one time. Or either that place that's over there in Sereno. I can't make them all at one time. If I had the stamina that the choir had, that the carolers had, I could have. Of course, you know, they've drove from here to, I don't know, Arkansas and back around to Mississippi and the other side here, whatever the state is, New Mexico. I mean, they made a round, friend, let me tell you right now. I said all that to say this. We went down through there looking at all of that, and I just think of that, and I stand amazed at just how their light bill must be high. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, could you imagine as beautiful as man is able to recreate and do things in this life, what the Garden of Eden must have been without sin in it? Can you imagine that? I can't. I know you can't. We try to, and we'll say, well, yeah, you know, I bet it was something. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it had to be spectacular. It had to be words don't express how beautiful that must have been. But, you know, like everything else, you know, as here they are, these people that were created, they're stuck in there. And then all of a sudden, there's a curse that comes and taints the whole thing. Now, the curse was because of sin. And let me tell you right now, it is by one man's disobedience. You know, in Romans chapter 5, God charges Adam with it. And death is passed upon all men and all because all that have sinned. Let me say to you that, if you will, that you read in chapter number 3, when you read all of it, because of the woman, she's ending up and she's going to have sorrow and she's going to hurt during childbearing. You know, when people try to tell you, well, the old Bible don't mean, they're talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament, that don't apply to us. Go stand outside a labor room sometime and watch that woman having them pains. And I guarantee you right now, Genesis in chapter number 3 and verse 16 still in effect. I said all that just so that you'd know it, that man, according to, he's going to, in verse 19, work by the sweat of the face of his brow, and he's going to be able to fight thorns and thistles and this and that and all that. The serpent's going to crawl upon his belly, and he's going to eat dust and so forth and on the rest of his life. And in this lesson that you're looking at, there's no doubt in 2 ways in 10 that whenever you walk by and see a snake, it makes your heart skip a beat. You want to jump back a little bit. Now, there are some people that love it. They love them snakes. You know why? Because they're stupid. They talk funny. Oh, mate, look here. I give this a real rare breed here and all that. I said all that to be able to say this, is that the serpent, buddy, is out trying to do what he can to deceive people into thinking that God's giving you a raw deal and that he's got a better plan for you. Now, I want you to watch something else in this real quickly. In the book of Romans, don't turn there, but in chapter number 6 at about verse number 23, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. Every time you and I see somebody die, death's not our friend, it's an enemy. And every time somebody dies, let me tell you right up front, is that death is our enemy, and I'm looking forward when God will wipe away the tears from our eyes and death will be annihilated. I'm looking forward unto that day, but until that day, death, the wages of sin is death. Be as good as you want to be. Do all you can do, and you'll die without God, and you'll go to a devil's hell. You better come to Jesus Christ, because the rest of that passage, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch this here. If the wages of sin is death, that means man is guilty. You know what keeps a man over there in the book of Romans? I want to say that it's somewhere around chapter number 3. But do you know what keeps a person from ever coming to the Lord as an empty-handed beggar confessing Christ and their need for the Lord? You know what it is? They can't stop their mouth long enough to become guilty. When God said the wages of sin is death, there's a time in your life you had to become guilty before God. But then when it says, but the gift of God is eternal life, boy, there's grace right there in your face. See, what it is, one of them is eternal damnation, and the other one's eternal life. It's that simple. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you back over here in our text that we looked at, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Words, they're going to knock him in the head. He's going to get rid of it. He's going to have a deadly wound. It's not going, and that's the serpent. Thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's talking about Christ going to the cross. And let me tell you, all the world thought everything was over and walking around and they were gloomy. But oh, thank God for Sunday morning. But he resurrected gloriously, victoriously from the grave, won victory over death, hell, and the grave. And let me say to you that, if you will, that our Lord, he suffered, bled, and died at the cross. And that was Satan, buddy, bruising his heel. But let me tell you something. He put the deadly wound upon him by crushing his head. In the book of Romans, turn chapter 16, Romans 16. At about verse number 20, and we're getting down to the very short row. But in the book of Romans, in chapter 16, And I believe it's in about verse number 20 that we're going to be looking at. All right, and here's what he says concerning Romans. No, that ain't right. That ain't close to right. Maybe it's Revelation. Maybe I can't read my writing. Let me try that. And so in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, let's try that and see what it looks like. And I know I got the Revelation part right, I think. But over in the book of Revelation, in chapter number 16, and the Bible says in verse number 20, now that ain't even it either. Is it Romans? Am I on it? Oh, yeah, all right, here we go. I was looking at verse 17. I see now what's happening. All right, Romans chapter number 16. Let's go back to there and try that again. Verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Listen, do you want to have victory over death, hell, the grave, and Satan? Well, you better trust the God of peace. That's it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, last but not least, there's a passage over here in Revelation 20. Now, I'm getting my ducks here in a row, and here we go, and about verse number 10. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, you can write down by that passage if you want to, or just remember it, no more devil. Now, when you look into that and you see that and you recognize that, make no mistake about it, is that whatever we've read there in the book of Genesis in our text, chapter 3, verse 15, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. I was thinking about, you know, the seed of the woman and the seed. Do you realize, though, know, that there's a lot of people that are the child of the wicked one? I'll give you one of them. We don't have time to turn with much. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 12, this Bible said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And he slew his brother Abel. Why did he do it? Because he was more righteous. He was a righteous man. And the devil hates righteous people. In this lesson that we're looking at, in closing here, let me tell you, eternal damnation either awaits you or eternal life will await you, depending on what you do in this life with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just depends. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Are you glad that he's made a way for us? Because let me tell you right now is that when that angel walked up and began to converse with Mary and tell her about that holy thing that'll be born of thee, is going to be put in you by the Holy Ghost, she said, how's this going to be? I've never known a man. I don't know not a man. You know, some of the other versions want to try to trade who she is as a maid. There's a lot of maids ain't virgin. I don't have a husband. There's a lot of pregnant people hadn't got a husband. This woman, buddy, was beyond our comprehension. Her name was Mary and highly favored. Not above, but among women. I'm glad when God started out, he let us know from the beginning and all the way through, and he carries it consistently. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you for these that have gathered tonight. And Lord, as we approach this time of the year, I don't know what the day was, the month was. I'm just glad you sent your only begotten Son, and that you use the portal of a virgin to be able to bring him in, carry him to the cross, let him pay the sin debt, resurrect victoriously for all whosoever will believe in him. Now I pray you'd help us to be faithful unto thee until the day that you come for us. May you find us busily occupying about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray.